Haven't you already enjoyed yourself in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. For these songs and for the fellowship and just for what we felt in our hearts today. We thank Him this morning. Going to a very familiar passage of Scripture in the book of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter today. And preaching to you a thought that the Lord laid up on my heart. And even as we was coming to church this morning, I was even looking at other places, but I just can't get away from this today. So we're just going to try to mind the Lord and preach to His Word, give you a message that will help all of us and encourage each and every one of us today. Because we are like Timothy, or Paul said to Timothy, he said, we are living in perilous times. We're living in difficult times. And when I look around us, and my text this morning is probably going to be somewhat controversial, and I ask that, like I did last week, I believe it was last week, when I asked you that it's what God gives to me. And sometimes we don't like to use the words that is in my text this morning, but I couldn't find any other way to describe it than what I have. And as I was working this week, Lord laid up on my heart, and I thank Him that He visits with us. How many of you had a visit from the Lord this week? Amen. Isn't that wonderful when He comes by and visits you wherever you may be at and gives you a word that you stand in need of for that day? And 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word. We said it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and we've preached from this in times past. But we want to take our thought from the 8th verse, but I want to start reading today from the 6th verse. Because He says, to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And then He closes with this, to Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And you can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to use for a text, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody this morning, but this is the way the Lord has laid upon my heart, so I just have to follow Him. My text this morning is, I hate the devil because. I hate the devil because. And I'm going to try to fill in the after part of that. And I know we teach our kids that hate, to say that word, is very destructive. That it just burns even to the core. And we tell them not even to use that word. But I try to use, I dislike the devil. But what I have toward him is more than dislike. I couldn't find a word that could describe how I feel about the devil other than I just hate him. Don't you this morning? I just hate him. And I know that last week I preached a message that was entitled, Flirting with the Devil. And I thought, Lord, I preached Flirting with the Devil last week, and now you give me this thought for this week. And I don't know, I guess I had a part of me that wanted to go in a different direction after I thought about all this. But in this day in which we live in, we need more preaching about the wiles of the devil and all that he's up to. Because so many people are being deceived by what he is doing. And he's gotten clever. He's changed with the times. And he uses a lot of different devices to get to our people. And I don't want to give him too much credit, because the Lord laid it up like this upon my heart. All the devil does, if you get nothing else from this message this morning, hold this in your memory. All the devil does is exploits our weaknesses. It's not what the devil does, it's what we allow him to do. But because he brings it and he just keeps pushing into our memory, pushing into our thoughts, pushing into our everyday what He has to offer. Our people today, we ought to see what He's doing, and we ought to get away from Him. How many of you have ever had the devil to come against you and put a thought in your mind, and you know if you carried it out? And it might be something small. I'm not talking about the big things. I'm talking about the small things. He put something, a thought in your mind. And if you did it, it wouldn't just be that thought that you'd have to pay for, but it'd be everything that followed after that. Because everything the devil does, and we allow him to use it in our life, and we follow through on our weaknesses, it not only affects us, but it affects everybody around us. There's nothing that any of us can do. And I'll use this as an example and move on with my message this morning. There's nothing that any of us can do that only affects us. If you're in a family, it affects your whole family. If you're in a church, it affects the whole church. I was saddened by that news this morning, Sister Trula. And you know, in days past, we try to hush and keep that under keep it under a curtain or a rug and not let that word out. But you know, it's sad what the devil is doing. And what's sadder is that we're allowing him to do it. Because the devil has no power except that which we give to him. That's all that he has. And John said it like this. In 1 John, he said all he does is come against us with the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And he uses those tools to come against our weaknesses to drive us away from God. And I hate him for it. And I may say that many times in this message. And some of you might, and I hope you're not offended, but I pray, how many of you did this morning just hate what the devil is doing to your homes and to your family, to our country, to your children? And I get sometimes to the point that I pray, oh Lord, why don't you just come? Because I've said this, and I'll try to get to my message, but I got to follow the Lord. I've said this in times past when someone would ask me, why did a loved one have to die? Especially those that are young and those that, you know, the people that love them so much are just so brokenhearted. Why did they have to die? And I explain it to them like this sometimes, that God knew that what was waiting for them tomorrow was worse or bigger than what they was able to be able to bear. And God said, instead of you going through that, did he not say, I'll not put more upon you than that which you're able to bear? He said, I'll just do this. I'll give you the victory and take you on out of this life and take you on home to be with me. The devil comes against all of us. He exploits our weaknesses. And people say, well, he's strong, he's mighty, and he does all these things to us. But he only does that which we allow him to do. Because the Bible says if we will resist the devil, he will flee from us. He's not able to stand. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, even the demons tremble. That if we find what works for us, that God will use that to give us the strength that when the devil comes against us, that we'll be able to get the victory instead of defeat. And I want to put this in before I go on. What I can do is only for Roger. Because the devil knows all of our weaknesses, but when he comes against me, I know what the Word says, and I know what He's coming and the direction that He's coming, and I have to be prepared that when He comes, to say no. Can anybody else say the word no? We need to use it more often when the devil comes against us. And I wish that I could be there to fight your battles and my kids' battles, my grandkids' battles. But folks, I can't be there, but I know one who can be there for all of us. If we will just learn how the devil works, Steve, we can get the victory against him instead of letting it turn into defeat. But I can only do it for myself. I can't do it for Becky. I can't do it for my children. I can only do it for me. But you'll just look at what the devil does and you'll see why I say, when I look at all that he does, that I just hate that rascal. Because the Bible says that he's going to and fro like a roaring lion, devouring whom he may. He's coming against our people with his lies, as we said last week in John the 8th chapter and the 4th verse. All he does, Brother Eli, is tell one lie after another lie after another lie, and our people believe it. They fall for it. And only to find out that he tells you the half truth. And a half truth is a whole lie. Amen. Tells you the half truth and get you to nibble just a little bit at it. And when he gets you, folks, he knows that he's got you coming. Because he got you to look. Sometimes I think we as God's people, we need blinders like they used to put on the old mules and horses and the oxen. They used to put blinders on them to keep them from seeing to the left or right so they go straight. Some of us need that this morning, and the only way we can get it is by the help of God. When I look at what he does and see how he works, the devil is destroying lives. I hate the devil because he is destroying lives. And when I look at how he is destroying lives, there's four major ways or four similar ways that the devil works against all people. He comes against them with lust. We call it lust, but let's just call it what it is. When we look at that, and the lust has these four different attributes of it or four different tentacles from it, he gives them the lust, and it goes for sex. And people say, you shouldn't mention that word from the pulpit. It's how the devil works. It's drugs and alcohol and money. Those four things is what the devil uses more often than anything else to deceive our people. He tells those on drugs and alcohol that you'll never have a high like what you can get from what I'm offering you. Only to get them there and get them start off something small. And this is what our people need to hear this morning, church, while you pray. Get them to start off on something small that only leads up to something that is more powerful and potent. He doesn't care how small they start. That's not the end that he has in mind. His end in mind is destroying them with drugs or alcohol. And many of our people have been and are destroyed by drugs and alcohol. And when I see how he affects people's lives by drugs and alcohol, I hate the devil that he uses people's weaknesses to be able to destroy their lives. He uses money to tell our kids, and even us in days past, all of us today, that money will take care of all your problems. And he's got people that he's lying to people and got them out there that some of them all they do is work, 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 trying to make a dollar, so that they might be able to get that bigger house or that better car, and tell them that that's where happiness is. Folks, if you can't be happy in a tent, you won't be happy in a mansion. Amen? If you won't be happy driving an old jalopy, you won't be happy in the finest car that's on the market. Happiness does not come from things. Happiness comes from on the inside. And the devil lies and tell our people this. And our young people need to hear this, maybe even some of our middle-aged people, because some of us that are older, we've awakened to some of the tools that the devil uses. But he'll use sex against our young people. And he'll try to tell you that that'll bring you the happiness you're looking for. That'll bring you the belonging. That'll bring you the enjoyment that you're looking for in life. All the devil does is want to steal away the good things that God has already given to you and take away that which could change your life for all eternity. And when I see what he does to young people, and this is not just a young people message this morning, because I know some middle-aged people and I know some older people that the devil has come and lied to them and exploited their weakness. Their weakness for drugs and alcohol. Their weakness about money and their weakness about sex, to where their lives, they don't know which way they're coming or going anymore, because of how the devil has destroyed them. I was working yesterday and working with a couple guys, and I shared this with Dad yesterday afternoon. I see some people that have so much potential in their life. I'm talking about people that have skill, people that are intelligent, people that have a future ahead of them. But the devil will come with one of these four mechanisms, and he will destroy their future. And people say, well, how can... And I'm not going to get into all the different things that the devil uses of these four to destroy lives, but you know what I'm talking about. Money can only go so far. Money can only buy you so many things. And then even the things get old. With drugs and alcohol and sex, there comes future health problems. Amen? And I know you make a Baptist church real quiet when you talk about these things. But I wish we had somebody preaching it on the airways. Because this is a message that our people need to hear this morning, that the devil is using your weakness to destroy your life. Also, I thought about how that the devil, and what drives me with my anger against him, is the seeds that he sows in our lives. In our young people, in our middle age, in our older people alike. He plants those seeds of discourse. People that used to be able to get along now can't stand each other. And somebody ought to say amen. People that he comes and he plants seeds of jealousy, to where best friends are now jealous of each other. People that get jealous because God blesses one better than the other. And folks, I guess we all have a little bit of jealousy in we, do we not? But you know, my thoughts of later years have been this. When I see God bless a brother or sister, I'm not going to get jealous. I'm just trying to see where I'm at in the line. Because I might be next. Or I might be further down the line. Because, let me put this in and I'll move on. You know, there are things that we can do to just keep pushing us in the back of the line. Don't think just because you're in the line, you're next. Because you still got to live right. You still got to do right. And you still got to serve God right. He brings and plants seeds of lust, which we've already mentioned these in the four, and just a minute ago, that these seeds that he plants is people that used to be able to control themselves. And that's a good phrase, is it not, Carlene? People that used to be able to control themselves against the seeds of lust that the devil plants in their lives. This, you see, it's just like a garden. The only thing that will grow is that which you allow to grow. Now there's a thought. Those things that you planted, when you see something else growing, if you don't get rid of it, it will overtake that which you want. And he plants these seeds of lust in our lives, to where instead of focusing on God and focusing on our families, focusing upon our lives, we are now looking at everybody else's lives. Looking at what they have and looking at them. And I shared this with a brother or sister, I think it was this past week, that sometimes people look at us, brothers and sisters in God, and we're hugging each other and we're enjoying each other, what God has done for each other. And people look at us and say, something must be going on there. And I say it like this, these are my brothers and sisters. These are my brothers and sisters. These, God doesn't put in the church these types of feelings. The devil will plant them. And people say, you mean we even have to watch when we come in this house? The devil doesn't care if you go to church. He just don't want you to have a good time once you get here. And also, how many of you have heard preachers of years gone by tell you that the devil will come into church? He won't sit on the back row, but he'll go right to the front row. Not throwing any stones at my deacons up here and Brother Larry. But he will. The devil don't care that you go to church as long as you don't get blessed by God. He'll also plant seeds in our thoughts. Thoughts that we ought not have. How many of you have ever had thoughts that you shouldn't have? And you know what? When he plants those seeds, I get frustrated and then it just turns to anger. Because I think, who are you to come in my house and plant that kind of garbage in my mind? And people say, how did you come to the realization it was him? Because anything that is not good is of the devil himself. When he plants those thoughts, I try just to run away and just tell him how frustrated I am that he would have the audacity to come into my house and do that. People say, do you talk to the devil? I talk to God. And certainly I let the devil know when I am not happy with what he's trying to plant in my life. And you say, can the devil hear you? Folks, he's got ears. The Bible says he is a cognizant person. He's in hell and he's in the earth. And he knows your thoughts. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And the devil will never come against your strengths. It's always against your weaknesses. How many of you again got weaknesses? You know you got a weakness. And the devil will come against those. And then sometimes I get mad at him, and then I realize this week, because God laid this thought on my heart, instead of getting so mad at the devil, what I ought to do is work on my weaknesses so he doesn't come against me. But let me put this thought in. Just like the cities that had the walls that was fortitudes, that there was places of safety, when I get a place built up where the devil comes against me and I get that strengthened by the help of God, I'll find out that he'll find another weakness. Because we don't have just one. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have weaknesses. Did not Paul talk about the warfare? I believe this is what he was talking about today, church. He'll plant seeds of confusion. Anybody ever not known which way to go? You know what the Word says. But you're there, you know what the Word says, and you're listening to what the devil says, and you wonder which way, which direction should I go. This is the confusion that comes. It's from hell itself, and all it wants to do is drive you away from the path that God wants you to go in. When you preach against sin, it's hard preaching. You know what we ought to be doing this morning? We ought to be rejoicing that the truth is being preached from the pulpits of our churches, that there is still somebody that will stand up and say the devil is a liar and all he wants to do is destroy what God has given to you and destroy you and you and every one of us. He will not be happy till he gets us to fail God in some form or fashion. Can you see this picture? Every time we listen to that rascal and follow him, and I know I'm being far-fetched, I just ask you to use your imagination for just a minute. But this is the way I see it. Every time I fail and allow him to get the victory over me because of my weakness, I can see him over in the corner laying on his back just laughing to the top of his lungs. Because you know why? He's happy because he fooled me one more time. He got the victory one more time. I also hate him because he takes away the things that God gave to us. There's not a one family in this house this morning or in this country or any church across America or across the world. There's not one family that the Word could not be stood up and shared like what Sister Trula shared with us today. There's not one of our homes that is protected. Somebody better say amen. Not one of our homes is protected from the devil coming in and breaking it apart. Not a one. I've heard of people married 6 months getting a divorce. I've heard of people being married 30 years and getting a divorce. I've heard of some being married even much more than that and getting a divorce. Because you know what the devil comes in, and I'm just going to preach my heart to you this morning. What the devil comes in, and he'll plant seeds that you deserve better than that. You can do better than that. You deserve happiness. Right? Am I preaching the truth this morning? He'll plant seeds that you've got just all these years, and this is what you've got to be happy with. There's somebody else that can provide better for you. There's somebody else that can do better for you. And I'm going to use this illustration, not to be comical, but the devil will always let you think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Amen? What he don't tell you is that that grass is green because it's on top of a septic tank. I know what God has given to me. Or at least I think I do. But if I went around this room, and several years ago, Larry, we had those CDs that we shared from T.D. Jakes about marriage and the family and home and stuff. But if I went around this room, the devil has planted seeds in every one of our hearts and our minds. And I believe I can say every one of us has been married for any time. He'll plant seeds in your mind that maybe the one you're with is not the one you ought to be with. Is this not true? Some of you are afraid to say amen because your spouse is sitting there. But it's still the truth. He'll plant these seeds. He wants to take away that which God has given to us. What we ought to do is learn to be happy with what God has given to us and enjoy it and forget about all those other things that the devil is planting in our minds. Build up some strength. Grow up and get away from the thoughts that the devil is planting in your mind. He wants to take away our health. Some of us, there's nothing that will make him any more happier than come against us with some kind of dreaded disease. And when I see what the devil does to our people, Sister Anita down there, and I don't say this for your to cause a worldly sorrow, but some of my people and some of your people that have gone through similar things and about to go through them. When I see that, all that is the devil's attack to try to destroy us and kill us. But you know what I read just the other day? It refreshed my memory on this. The Bible says that we'll have to contend with that rascal while we're in this life. But the Bible says that the last enemy to be defeated is death itself. And when that day comes, we will no longer have to worry about him coming and taking our health away from us, because we'll have a glorified body like it unto God himself. All the glory is home in heaven above, and the devil will not be able to come and take away anything that God has given to us. Hallelujah. He comes against us to try to destroy us. And when I see that he takes our people that we love so much and he comes against them with those dreaded diseases, and you see their bodies fade away to nothing. You see them, the change that takes place. How many of you like me, you look at them and you say how I love them and how I hate what devil is doing to our people today. He comes and he tries to take away the peace in our lives. There's a song that starts off like this. It says, with peace like a river. That song goes on to tell about all the things that the devil come and took away from that man. We could have the biggest pity party there is in the world. Look at what everybody else has got and look what I've got. And that's usually the way the devil works. And I'm not talking about earthly things. Why can you even use that for things that you've got left that it's already missing from my life? How many of you still have your mother? Raise your hands this morning. See, mine's gone on to be at the Lord. How many of you still got your father? Some of you can't raise your hand because yours is already gone to be at the Lord. Some of your spouses have already gone on to be at the Lord. Some of your friends, your brothers, your sisters has gone on to be at the Lord. Some of us got children that's already gone on to be at the Lord. And when I look at all these things, I think about how we like to have them, but the devil used his devices to take them away from us. Used his devices. Just a few weeks ago, you as a church, you know about this. And how many times it happened since then that a good friend of ours, their son, died at the age of 25 years old. Due to a drug overdose. People say that can't happen to my son. That can't happen to my daughter. Folks, it can happen to any of our children today. It can happen to any of our grandchildren. Because the devil doesn't care whose kid it is. He doesn't care whose family it belongs to. He doesn't care if you're the pastor's child. Or the deacon's child, the song leader, or the whatever title you may be in the church, he doesn't care whose child you are. All he wants is to destroy you and your life. The devil comes and he destroys our people by taking away their happiness. People that used to be happy with a bowl of beans and cornbread. Now can't be happy regardless of what they've got. And I'm just using that as a picture this morning. People that used to be happy. And I'm going to preach until I'm preached out. People that used to be happy in a two-room apartment. Now can't be happy in a 10-bedroom house. You know it's true this morning. Because the devil comes and he tries to take away that which God has given to them. And folks, what we need to do is go back to where we first started. We need to go back to Bethel. And spiritually speaking, but even in our lives, we need to go back to Bethel. To where God first put us together. To where God first started our family. So I remember that when we was Becky and I first got married and our kids came along, they didn't have a room filled with furniture to have for their bedroom and all the different things hanging from the ceiling and all that. If I remember correctly, they had just a little bassinet that was there beside the bed that they slept in. And folks, if we go back and look, it didn't matter what kind of bed they was in. As long as they was close to us, we was happy. And now the devil is trying his best to drive them as far away from us as he can get them. I'm preaching the truth this morning. And I hate what he's done to our homes. I hate what he's done to our lives. We used to, and I thought about this and how that we used to have just maybe, now I'm preaching you the truth this morning, that we used to have just maybe two suits. And one of those suits was, I remember it, one of those suits was reversible. It had a different, it had two pair of pants and a jacket and a different vest that went with it. And you know what? I thought I was something when I just had two suits. Do you know why I thought I was something? Because prior to that, I had zero suits. And now the Lord has blessed us to where we have clothes that we can wear. And folks, I'll be the first to admit, I don't keep track of what I wore last week or the week before. I'll just go in the closet, and if I think I ain't wore it in a while, I'll grab it. Or some days, I'll just walk in, and if I like the way it wears, I'll grab it. Because there are some days I just like to be comfortable. But you know what? We go from a closet that me and Becky and the kids, every one of us could share one closet, to where everybody's got to have their own closet, and we're still not happy. Because the devil come in and say it's never enough. He will never tell you you've had enough. You got enough clothes. You got enough shoes. You got enough cars. You got enough money. You've got enough. He will never tell you you've got enough. But you know, in all these things, the thing that really bothers me about the devil, the last two, and then I'll close, is that he comes in through all of these things and steals away our fellowship with God. Steals away our fellowship with God. Folks, it doesn't matter what you lose that is materialistic. Everything you lose in this world, if God blesses you, it can be replaced. It can be replaced. But there's one thing that cannot be replaced, and that is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Because I don't care how many things the devil offers you, nothing can take place of God's fellowship. You say, how can you say such a thing? What do you think all the drug addicts are looking for? They're looking for that utopia. I didn't know I was going to preach all this morning. They're looking for that place to where they feel like that they're just out of this world. That they have inner peace. The alcoholic is not so concerned about that one drink. They're concerned about where it's going to take them. To that utopia, to where they don't feel that pain. To where the problems that they have, they can try to drown them. But see what the devil won't tell you, after you come down from your high on drugs or alcohol, the problems are still there. The problems are still there. In closing, here's the thing that really bothers me the most. When I think about that a place has had to expand her boundaries to hold the soul of my loved ones and yours for all eternity. Brother Ron, I have to say, I hate what the devil is doing to our people. Because he's given them, and I said this last Sunday morning in a message, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody because I've got to use it one more time. What the devil does is he promises them the world and gives them hell. People say, oh, that's harsh. That's harsh, Pastor. But it's the truth. He promised them everything the world has to offer, only for them to wake up in a place of hell and destruction for all eternity. And when I think about your loved ones and mine, and people say, well, you don't have loved ones that's going through what my loved ones are. I've got loved ones that are drug addicts. I've got loved ones that are alcoholics. I've got loved ones that are chasing after everything that the world has to offer. I've got loved ones. In fact, I've shared this with the church before. Most of my family's been married multiple times. I'm not proud of that. It's just fact. In fact, I'm one of the few in our family that hasn't been. And people say, well, why haven't you been? Because when the devil comes against us, I have a place that I can go to. I said I was going to close, but I got to go back to the scripture. Because people say, well, if the devil does all that, how can I fight him? Go back with me, if you would, to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to tell you how we can defeat the devil when he comes against us with all of these devices. This is not just given to one person. This is the Word of God, Brother Wayne. How can we do it? Have you found the passage of Scripture? In the 6th verse, he starts out with telling us the first thing we got to do. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Not my will, God, but yours. Not my desires, Lord, but yours. Because he says that he may exalt you in due time. Everything the devil is offering to you, God has got something better in store for you if you will humble yourself, and at the due time, He will give it to you. Everything you have need of, God said He would provide it, Brother Bill. And I'll put this in, then I'll move on. How many of you got some of your wants as well as your needs in life? You know why? Because when you humbled yourself, God exalted you in due time. You say, no, I worked and got all that money. Who was it woke you up in the morning to send you to work? Who was it gave you the strength? Who was it gave you the ability? As my Sunday school teacher says, sometimes we're not that smart. Let's just be open. And I didn't come to throw stones and offend you this morning. But there are people out there a whole lot smarter and work a whole lot cheaper than what you and I are. And they're not near as blessed as what we are. There's people out there make more money than we make. And don't have all the stuff that God's blessed us with. Then he says this, cast all your cares upon Him. Next time the devil comes offering you something, just say, Lord, I need you. The devil's coming, he's offering. And I need you. I'm casting my cares upon you because I know you'll give me the strength to walk away. He said that we need to be sober, be vigilant. When we look at those words, what he's saying to us is that we need to be awake. Because if you think the devil isn't going to come against you, you are dead wrong. You say, well, I haven't seen him. How many of you have had a devil to come against you and you didn't see him coming? You say, well, the scripture says he's like a roaring lion. You know when lions roar? After they've got you. Lions don't roar when they're hunting. In fact, if you watch any of those animal kingdom shows, or if you go back to when Tiffany gave us all kinds of lessons when she was growing up, because we watched Lion King about 150 times, what you'll find out is they sneak up on you. And then when they got you, they'll pounce upon you, destroy you, and then they'll roar. Look what he says. Verse 9, he says we need to resist, steadfast in the faith. Because he said the same afflictions, the same things that we go through, our brethren in the world face the same ones. How many of you have ever felt sorry for yourself? Amen. Because you think nobody else is going through what I'm going through. Nobody else is down to their last dollar. Nobody else is stuck in a situation like I am. The Bible says we've all been there. But then in verse 10, he says when the devil comes against us and he's trying to devour us and trying to take everything that God has given to us, he says, but the God of all grace who have called us into eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a little while. A little while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Some of us need today to say, Lord, I need to be perfect. Some of us this morning need to say, Lord, I need to be established. Some of us need, Lord, I need to be strengthened. Anybody else in the house need strength this morning? And some of us just need to say, Lord, will you just settle me? Anybody get anxious like I do? And I just need to pray, Lord, just settle me just a little bit. Bring a calmness into my life. And then when he does that, to him be the glory and the dominion and the power forever and ever. Amen. This morning, I hope you got something from the Word. Because the devil is coming to destroy each and every one of us. What I'm preaching is not new. It's just not preached anymore. What I'm preaching is that the devil will use anything, any crack that he sees in your life. How many of you as husbands and wives, you don't have to raise your hands. Maybe you just had a little disagreement. You know what that is? That's a crack in the door for the devil to sneak right in. You don't have to put up with this. Is that not what he says? Who is he or who is she to tell you what to do? Devil would say, you deserve much better than what you've got. You know what he's doing? He's using a reverse on you. Most of us, and in fact, I'll just say every one of us, don't deserve what God has already given to us. Amen. Some people say, well, buddy, you sure married up. Right? But you see, God saw that the two of you would be complementary to each other. It's something in those tapes, and I'll close with this morning. I'll use this on marriage, because this is the way the devil works. T.D. Jakes used the example that he and his wife went out to dinner, and there was a couple sitting next to him. And they were sitting there, and their food was there. And I may be making the story a little bit bigger than what it is. Their food was there, but they wasn't even eating it that much. They were just nibbling on it. They were sitting there holding hands and laughing. And here he and his wife were sitting at their plate. They was eating their food, wasn't talking a whole lot, and wasn't laughing at all. You know, that's what the devil will do to us. He'll take us from one extreme to the other. You can tell they've been married. They just got married, right? How many of you can tell when people's been married a long time? The devil will come against every one of us. And you know what? Some of us as older people, Rob and Sharon, get us a song now. Some of us as older people, we've lived our lives, and not that we want to go, but if the devil was to destroy us, we know he's coming against us. How many of you know he's coming against you? But what really makes me angry is when I see him coming after my kids and my grandchildren. When I see him coming after your kids and your grandchildren. When I see him coming after your home, your life, your future. Sometimes I'm like Paul. Paul says that it's okay to get angry, but sin not. Folks, if there's anything in this world we ought to be mad at, it's what the devil is doing and how he is working in this country. And I'll just use that. Because it's not isolated to one home, one family, or even one church. He's working everywhere. Now, in this invitation this morning, this invitation is for this. It's very simple. Anybody that's fed up with what the devil is doing, you know, you still us talking about it and try to figure it out. Because you see, and I've shared this with Becky, and I don't care, I don't mind sharing this with you. Because you know some of the things going on in our family. Folks, they don't want to hear me telling them what's right or wrong. They know what's right and what's wrong. They don't need a lecture. They don't need a counseling session. What they need is for us to take their names before God and say, Lord, I can't get their attention, but I know you can. Lord, I can't change their mind, but I know that you can. I can't change their direction, but Lord, I know that you can. And we know of homes. We know of lives that are in peril. And sometimes people will say, oh, pastor and deacons, you need to go talk to them. And don't get me wrong, there's a place for all things. But here's my point. Until God moves in their heart, we're not going to make. People say that I go back, I go and I talk them out of it. You cannot talk them out of it. Short term, you may convince them. Long term, as soon as you walk away, the devil's going to come right back and try his best to get them again. What we need to do, instead of talking about it, is we need to take it before God and say, oh Lord, I need your help. I need your help. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. How is it with you this morning? I can't stand what He's doing to our lives. When I see Him destroying young hopes, young lives, I just get so mad, so angry, because I see how He's working. How about you, Mom and Dad? Say, I can't do nothing about it. Yes, God is still on the throne. He's still working. He's still moving on our behalf. Won't you just take it to God? Ask Him for that direction. Yes. Others that need to come this morning. Folks, the devil's working against you. He's working hard. In fact, he's working overtime to bring that destruction. If you think your home is safe against it, he's got you fooled. Because there's nobody that is safe. Because he's coming against all of us. But the Bible says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is able to deliver us from all things that the devil brings against us. All of them. There are people that's praying for you this morning. They're praying for you. Yes. Coming home. Listen to that. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of living below my privilege. Why don't you come this morning? Yes. Help them sing this chorus this morning, church. Yes. Coming home. Coming home. Yes. Never more to roam. Message this morning, full of truths. I think of it like this: if you knew some good advice that would help people and keep them from pain, you'd be out there sharing it with everybody. You know, when we see people and we give advice to them, what we're doing is we're drawing from our experiences, things we've gone through to try to prevent them from going through the same things. You know what the Word of God is? It's drawing from what the devil has done to some of our brothers and sisters. Putting in a letter form to us to tell us to watch out. Because he's working. He's working. His time is running out. And He knows it this morning. I hope you got something from the message that you can take home with you. And I hope your eyes are open to what He's trying to do. You see it every day. Some people say, oh, that's just coincidence. No, that's the devil. Some people say, well, that's the neighbor's kids. That's not my kids. It could be your house today. Be your house tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know. God bless you. Take His word. And get your strength from Him. And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's go pray and come back. Pray and enjoy the afternoon. Enjoy the day that God has given to us. And maybe tonight God will give us one of those hallelujah shout messages. Get some of you Baptists back on track. But you know, we need the word where it hits at our homes to help us. God bless you today.